Well, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Real Life. I'm Lisa, and today we are going to be talking about self-sabotage. This podcast is not intended to replace therapy, counseling, or seeing a psychiatrist. All information is researched, and opinions are my own. I am a mental health inpatient registered nurse and professional content developer. So let's start talking about self-sabotaging behavior. First of all, behavior is said to be self-sabotaging when it creates problems in daily life and it interferes with long-standing goals. The most common self-sabotaging behaviors include procrastination, which we've all done that, self-medication with drugs or alcohol, comfort eating, guilty here, comfort eating, and forms of self-injury, such as cutting. Well, people aren't always aware that they are sabotaging themselves and connecting a behavior to self-defeating consequences is no guarantee that a person will disengage from it. Still, it's possible to overcome almost any form of self-sabotage. Behavioral therapies can aid in interrupting ingrained patterns of thought and action while strengthening deliberation and self-regulation. Motivational therapies can also help reconnect people with their goals and values. So we're going to focus on why we self-sabotage and how to stop self-sabotaging ourselves. So why do people self-sabotage? There are many reasons why a person might act in a way that proves damaging to his or her own well-being. Some individuals, of course, spend much of their lives struggling with powerful cravings for food, drink, gambling, or other temptations that come at a painful cost to their health or relationships. But the forces that lead to self-sabotage can also be just a bit more subtle, such as an accumulation of dysfunctional and distorted beliefs that lead people to underestimate their capabilities, suppress their feelings, or lash out at those around them. So, how do I know if I'm sabotaging myself? It can be difficult to identify self-sabotaging behavior, especially because the consequences might not immediately follow the behavior, making the connection unclear. One approach is to examine whether your behaviors are aligned with your long-term goals. If not, the behavior may be self-defeating. You can also take quizzes that are online to find out whether your behaviors are problematic. What are different forms of self-sabotage? People can stand in their own way for countless different reasons. Common types of self-sabotage involve procrastination, perfectionism, relationships, work, finances, time, and change. For example, a perfectionist who wants to complete a task flawlessly may dismiss incremental improvements when making even a little progress would actually help accomplish their goal. the question that I would ask next to ask yourself is, why do I always procrastinate? People procrastinate on tasks that in some way evoke anxiety or distress. Yours truly is guilty of that. So what happens is we put the task off, and it allows people, all of us, to avoid those negative emotions, even if it also prevents them from accomplishing the long-term goals that would bring happiness or fulfillment. Distractions like social media or setting vague deadlines like, I'll get to that next week, also fuel procrastination. Another thing as part of self-sabotaging is you're always putting yourself down. And that's the next question is to ask yourself, why do I always put myself down? Self-effacing behavior can emerge when people have trouble believing in their own abilities. A problem for women in particular. Extreme modesty can hinder success by derailing one's own confidence and by hindering other people's confidence in you. As research shows that self-effacing individuals are generally better liked, but are also seen as less competent. Next question to ask yourself, why do I always sabotage my relationship? If you're a relationship sabotager, developing a deep relationship leads obviously to vulnerability. And the process can make some insecure about the potential loss of the relationship, their self-esteem, and uncomfortable feelings that surface. The desire to avoid emotional pain and protect themselves could be the reason for sabotaging a relationship. Exploring those emotions and fears in therapy can help break the pattern. I always mention about therapy in most of my podcasts because therapy is a great way to be guided into resolving many issues. So let's get back to this. Many people who have an addiction, which is obviously a self-sabotaging behavior, have to ask themselves, why can't I break my addiction? Drinking and doing drugs allows people to escape difficult emotions. They can develop a warped perception about the habit, such as that they need alcohol to be liked and have relationships, even when reality demonstrates the opposite, such as drinking ruining their relationships. These distorted beliefs, in addition to the neurobiological changes, make overcoming addiction extremely, extremely challenging. So you probably want to know, how do I stop self-sabotaging? Documenting and analyzing behavior is a key component of preventing self-sabotage. People prone to self-defeating behaviors can notice when they feel stressed and write down both the source of that stress and how they responded. They can explore whether that choice encompasses any mistaken or harmful beliefs, and then train themselves to respond in a new, healthy way, such as, by sharing feelings with others, exercising, or developing a new hobby. Another question that comes to mind is, how do I identify my triggers for self-sabotaging behavior? Harmful thought patterns can occur automatically without conscious processing. To uncover them, try and bring more conscious awareness to your thoughts. Take note whenever you feel a distressing emotion. What were you thinking right before that? Doing this exercise regularly can uncover your self-sabotage triggers. And then, how do you stop sabotaging your relationship? If you fall into this category, begin by understanding your childhood relationship patterns and identify current triggers for self-sabotaging behaviors like picking fights or blaming a partner, perhaps by journaling. Learn to tolerate some discomfort and respond with a healthy behavior instead. Communicate your habits and progress to your partner and cultivate self-compassion as well to avoid sabotaging future relationships. Next, ask yourself the question, how do I stop sabotaging my success? For those that this applies to, choose which pattern most hinders your success, such as procrastination, low self-esteem, or poor financial choices. Identify the triggers for that behavior and make a plan for actions to take instead. For example, if negativity is a problem at work, plan to make one positive comment each day. Embrace improvements rather than elimination to make incremental progress toward your goal. And then, for those procrastinators, how do I stop procrastinating? It can be helpful to start a task without thinking about the entire project or timeline, beginning at any point and accomplishing even just a tiny portion will fuel motivation and change your perception of the project. Anticipating future behavior, planning how to respond, and eliminating distractions until a designated time can be valuable as well. So, another thing is, I want to focus on how some people sabotage their own relationships. Very common. Often, it's a response learned early in life. So key points I wanted to talk about is many self-sabotaging cycles are trauma responses and patterns learned earlier in life as self-preservation. A fear of abandonment is really a fear of intimacy and connection. To change these patterns, we need to be willing to learn patterns of self-preservation while learning patterns of self-healing. Familiar and comfortable are not the same thing as healthy and safe, yet we are often attracted to what is familiar and comfortable because it resonates with our early conditioning. Until we begin taking a deep dive into our personal history, our repetitive patterns, and our learned conditioning, our ability to see whether we're engaging in self-sabotaging behavior may be blurred. We may be in denial or turn to rationalizations or projections as excuses for why we continue repeating unhealthy patterns. At the core of all self-sabotaging behavior, we typically find fears of being abandoned, not feeling good enough, and struggles with self-identity and self-esteem. However, once we peel back these layers, we begin seeing that many self-sabotaging cycles are trauma responses and patterns learned earlier in life as self-preservation. So, why we self-sabotage? First, because of unresolved trauma. If we grew up in an abusive, neglectful, or otherwise unhealthy family, we were probably handed certain implicit roles, often for survival. We may have had narcissistic or abusive parents who shamed us, physically abused us, or emotionally neglected us. Or we may have had a parent or just who enabled others in the family to continue cycles of self-defeating behavior, including their own. These wounds are what get carried with us as self-sabotaging behavior. We often recreate the same patterns in our adult relationships that we were modeled and conditioned for us in our childhood, including messages of not feeling worthy, fearing abandonment, or believing maladaptive mindsets that were taught as normal. Eventually, we wind up turning to more misery as comfortable or familiar. Growing up in a hostile environment, there are often unspoken expectations that we aren't allowed to grow as our own person or to question the status quo or of the family dynamic. Because of this, we can become unconsciously tied to these dynamics that perpetuate what we were taught as kids, which reinforces our role in the family. Trying to advocate for ourselves or stepping outside of the prescribed family expectations, in quotation mark, can trigger fears of failing, fears of being smeared by our family, or fears of not being good enough for authentic connection on our terms. The result? We unconsciously sabotage our happiness, destroy healthy relationships, or chase the very thing we swore off because these prescribed expectations and roles are tied into our unresolved trauma. Let's go and talk about that fear of abandonment. A fear of abandonment is really a fear of intimacy and connection. When we fear being abandoned, it's typically because we are emotionally invested. The greater our emotional investment, the greater the fear of being abandoned. Our fears of abandonment can exponentially increase in our intimate relationships if we have experienced emotional or physical abandonment in childhood. So, self-sabotage in action. At first, we may assume that self-sabotaging patterns are centered on intentionally hurting ourselves. However, behaviorally speaking, self-sabotage is a combination of both positive and negative reinforcement, often in play at the same time and based on conditioning. For example, we may live by the rule of thumb that to be good enough, we need to be perfect. We may spend a ridiculous amount of time perfecting our body, perfecting our work, or perfecting our relationships, which may give us momentary satisfaction. Yet, while we are hyper-focusing on what to perfect, we're also negatively reinforcing our fears of being imperfect, which leads to self-sabotage. So there's many examples of self-sabotaging. But what we want to do is break the cycle. To change these patterns, we can't be stuck in the middle of repeating them. Breaking the cycle requires us to take several steps back. We need to be willing to take time to be alone so we can pull the blinders off. It requires us to take a deep dive into our grief, into our early experiences, and to reach a place to accept ourselves, a place of acceptance in understanding why we engage in self-sabotaging behavior. To change these patterns, we not only need to understand their significance, but we also need to be willing to unlearn patterns of self-preservation while learning patterns of self-healing. Before I end this podcast, I just want to give you some examples of self-sabotaging behavior more than I gave you at the beginning of this podcast. So some examples are emotionally shutting down, emotionally regression, infidelity, perfectionism, unrealistic expectations, people-pleasing, overthinking, oversharing, self-isolation, inability to be alone, use of distractions like obsessions, compulsions, addictions, controlling or micromanaging, ghosting, or discarding. So if you find that you're caught up in self-sabotaging behavior, focus on breaking the cycle. And as I said, be willing to unlearn patterns of self-preservation while learning patterns of self-healing. Make an appointment with a counselor or therapist. They're most experienced to help you on your journey. This is Real Life. I'm Lisa. Stay well.